Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to day 9 of the Always Cheating World Cup Minute, presented by Josh and Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. Is that your declaration of support for the German national team? And this day 0?
No, this is my Fulham scarf, actually.
Oh, you're wearing a Fulham scarf.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're breaking out all of the footy swag. For those of you who are just listening on the audio pod, you're missing out on all of Josh's contributions to the YouTube.
The fact that we've never brought up the fact that we're putting this on YouTube in basically any of these pods, we don't really have a YouTube presence. And so I think I go on there and I see like 37 views and I'm like, this is too low. I can't,
But those are 37 of the highest quality views because
that's true.
If you're among the 37, you're definitely watching day 9 of the World Cup Minute. And I salute you, and you can see me doing so on the YouTube.
It's like this tension where I'm like, I don't want to push it too hard until we have this proper. It's just silly. So anyway, we are on YouTube. If you're not listening that way, you can go and find us there and you can see my Fulham scarf. Mintro, I believe, was on Fulham when we went to see them play a few years ago.
He was.
Yeah. And again, these are the tiny scarves. The national thread shortage continues in England. And that's why they're these tiny scarves that you can barely even tie them at your neck. And I understand the idea of wearing a scarf that you just drape over your shoulders. That doesn't even keep you warm. I mean, if you're not tying the scarf, you're not really wearing it, as far as I'm concerned.
The scarves, as you can see in the artwork for Always Cheating in the World Cup Minute, are not meant to be worn around your neck, but held above your head as you sing London Calling, You Never Walk Alone, Forever Blowing Bubbles, all the classic tunes of European football.
You used to wear summer scarves. I remember that was.
Yeah, my wife would. I had this piece of chambray or whatnot, and it was kind of jaunty, and my wife would call it my piece of fabric. Like, oh, are you going out wearing your piece of fabric today?
Yeah.
Scarves, very divisive. But it's too hot in Qatar, Josh. I would suggest to wear scarves.
Not really scarf country. Vuvuzelas are back a little bit. I've been hearing those pop into some of the. Why can't they ban that? All this energy trying to ban the idea of homosexuality. It feels like you could spend that energy banning vuvuzelas, and we'd all be a lot happier.
Yeah, vuvuzelas are actually spreading germs. whereas other things are more just a way of being.
Well,
of being in day 9, Josh? We're already sidetracked.
Yeah, well, I thought yesterday's pod. You know, this is that we're doing a pod every day at least. At least while there are matches being played. I think we're going to end up doing one every single day, honestly, Brandon, because there'll be these days where we've got to preview the match to come. But yesterday's pod, I thought, was one of the hardest ones for us to record because we were talking about these day 9 matches, and it was really hard to offer up a sense of how they're all going to play out because just a lot of contrast in styles, a lot of players who don't play in the Premier League. And so we obviously the final match day, and well, really honestly, the final two matches were a little bit different. But I think that Cameroon Serbia, which kicked things off, was exactly the kind of match that I thought we might see, which was a match where both teams were trying to win. Right. The goals, neither team was setting back. A draw helped nobody. And so they were really going for it in this match. We got a 6-goal thriller. Mitro finally scores his first goal of the World Cup, which is why I'm wearing this scarf today. And Serbia now still has a chance to get through in Group G.
Yeah, they do. And I think it sets up nicely. I mean, virtually every group is set up beautifully here. And the question will be, how bad does Serbia want to go through? And we mentioned on yesterday's World Cup Minute the conflict, the preceding conflict between Serbia and Switzerland, which of course is not located but more than a day's drive from Crimea.
Yeah.
You have to go more into the Balkans and specifically into Kosovo to get to the heart of where the beef is between Xhaka and Gyökeres and the Serbian national team.
If you're going back to watch some of these YouTube clips, just skip the Sunday one. Just skip right back to Saturday, Brandon, and skip our Crimean coverage.
No, I think 10 years from now, people will say, secretly, day 8 of the World Cup Minute was the best World Cup Minute.
The real heads like that one, yeah. So Cameroon still in it as well. Certainly, they're both teams are on only 1 point so far, but they both have a chance to make it through. Cameroon has to beat Brazil in order to get through, but it's not impossible because Brazil is one of three clubs that are clean through to round two now. Brazil, Portugal and France are all the way through. And so we could see a Brazil team the problem is Brazil's B team is like Gabriel Jesus, Gabriel Martinelli, Bruno Guimarães, like all of these really terrific players. And I'm not sure they really lose a step, even if they kind of play the B squad because they're already through. But, at least Cameroon has, much like the U.S. tomorrow, they've got a puncher's chance, Brandon, to make their way through. And what most likely will happen is the Serbia-Switzerland winner, if there is one, will set up who goes through in Group G.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And now you have to start looking at things like goal difference. You would assume, even though Switzerland could tie Brazil on points, if Brazil ends up losing, both go six, can that team in second place, be it Brazil, overcome the goal difference? And Brazil has a 3-goal positive goal difference over the rest of the teams in their group. So, and given the way most of the games are going in the World Cup right now, to score 3 goals, maybe on day 9 was no big deal. Both Ghana, Cameroon, and Serbia managed to do it, but not really likely to come away with a 3-plus goal difference.
It's hard to see Switzerland overcoming that and topping that group. So, and then the other match that we had in that group was the Brazil match, Brazil-Switzerland 1-0. I thought a pretty entertaining match. This is a great lunchtime watch for me, Brandon. Mm-hmm. I went and got myself a little salad from Just Salad, the saddest name for a restaurant ever, but I ate my salad and
but it's not true. They have other things beyond salad, so they're liars. I'm taking them to the Federal Communications Commission
just
right
salad
now.
All lying, that should be the full title for the restaurant. But I sat and I ate my salad and I watched the second half of that match. We had a lot of VAR today, a little too much for my taste, Brandon. I try to keep my VAR snark in check during the Premier League season, but during the World Cup, I've been enjoying these goals as they happen. And Premier League fans know you don't enjoy a goal when it happens. A goal is scored, and then you wait to see if anyone watching the video can find a reason to get rid of that goal.
True.
Right, so it takes 60, 90 seconds, and then you celebrate the goal. And I have been so into the World Cup that I have actually been enjoying goals as they score, which is not what you can really do in the VAR gauge.
It's like Agent Mulder in the X-Files, right? Like the inciting incident is you thought you saw an alien, and then you spend like 6 seasons of television trying to prove the existence of aliens. And that is what VAR is, like the X-Files of a goal, where I believe I saw a goal, but now we must solve a bunch of mysteries in order to prove that the goal did in fact exist. And I do believe.
I felt bad for Vinny, our boy, Brandon, Vinny Jr. I wanted him to get that first World Cup goal, but it's coming for sure. What a goal from Casemiro, though. Oh, my gosh. Like, getting that far forward and then what a great, great strike as well.
Yeah, it's like of the Rodri mold, like a lot of these deep-lying midfielders who have rockets in their boots from time to time. So you'll love to see it.
Oh, yeah, and Antony with the assist as well. I mean, that's just that Man United team is just a lot more. I mean, Fred played 70 minutes today, too. So you had three Man United players in that squad. And
Somebody ring the bell for the mention of Fred in the World Cup Minute.
We have been accused of being ageist on this pod. It's actually no one but you and I accusing ourselves of being that way.
True.
But credit today to Pepe and to the elderly Brazilian defense, because those guys are not letting anything through. Ruben Dias too, who's, you know, he's just in his mid-20s, but he was terrific. So it's crazy that he can't get minutes anymore at Man City. Like, he's an incredible defender as well, and it's just really, really impressed by both those defenses today.
Yeah, central defenders for Pep Guardiola are like, they're like, you know, guitars. This one will be my favorite this season, and then next season maybe Diaz is back in the running.
I like that. You should put that one on Twitter, Brandon. That's a nice little nice little simile there.
Maybe I'll get a back tattoo of Pep Guardiola playing the bass guitar. That would look pretty dope.
So we have we move on to group. Well, we talked a little bit already about it, but move on to group H. You have Ghana beat South Korea, and then Portugal defeat Uruguay. Ghana, South Korea, another really fun match. That one was super close, right down to the end. I don't know if you were able to catch any of the end of that Uruguay, the Ghana South Korea match. But South Korea had a couple of like gigantic chances late to equalize or win that match.
Yeah, and then you catch, after the final whistle blows, some team coach from Ghana takes a selfie with Heung-min Son, who's like in tears. No, chin up, son. You've still got an opportunity to go through. It seems like all of these groups are sort of lining up with two teams at the bottom on 1 point, and with a win in the last round of group play,
that's
can
great.
Move into second place. So South Korea and Uruguay both have every chance of going through, though difficult. Yeah,
plan your dentist appointments and doctor check-ins accordingly in order to make sure you catch some of these exciting round three matches. I'm going to be at a conference, Brandon, later this week, so that's going to be a real treat for me trying to figure out how to watch all of this stuff on the floor. Just bring a laptop with me and pretend that I'm doing work.
I mean, you will actually get more traffic at your booth on the exhibit floor if you're playing the World Cup in the booth.
Can you imagine? That would be the greatest recruitment tool. I had not thought about that until now. You're so right.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, so that's, you know, so where we stand right now in Group H is Portugal is now officially through. They defeated Uruguay. Uruguay looked really good as well. Uruguay still has a chance, though. They can make the round of 16 with a win versus Ghana and a South Korea loss or draw versus Portugal. So South Korea just has to not defeat Portugal. And if that is the case and Uruguay can win that their Group H, then they'll be through. And kind of, you know, again, it's sort of just the way these things work out. It's because there's only three games. The first two seem so momentous, but you can really get it back. It's like Great British Bake Off, Brandon. You know, if you you may not kill it in the opening bake, you're middle of the road with the technical challenge. But if that showstopper is strong, you're right through, you know, to the next round. So we'll see what happens.
Absolutely, everyone's going to be looking for a handshake in the final round of the group stage.
Yeah, that's what Darwin wants, his Hollywood handshake, and we'll see if he gets it. I thought Suarez looked great when he came on late too; almost scored.
Luis Suarez is so equipped to be that game-changing substitution. I don't understand why they started him in the first match for Uruguay.
That's true.
Having him coming off the bench is terrifying for the opposition, just from his historic exploits. Just don't make that guy run so much. Just let him finish and be Luis.
25 minutes, exactly. Yeah. It's perfect. So let's look ahead to tomorrow's matches. We have, of course, the Iran-U.S. match. Why don't we table that one first, okay? So we've got the Group A, though. We've got Ecuador-Senegal, Netherlands, Qatar. Netherlands is in a pretty good spot here. Just a win or even a draw against Qatar is enough to get them through. And if they better Ecuador's result, then they'll get through as well. Same with Ecuador. They just need a win or a draw against Senegal. So both those teams are in a pretty good spot. Although I think what's interesting about this group is that you can actually see multiple teams, it seems like the Netherlands are clear through, but there is a world where the Netherlands don't make it through at all. And I think that's kind of, so it's really like you said before, it's all these round three matches or this round three of matches are all really interesting because we're not seeing any locks in this group, and you could see Qatar maybe. You know, it's their last match. They're already out, but this isn't a match they're going to give up on, right? I mean, they're the home team in front of their home fans. Maybe they have. I mean, they played a little tight, and certainly in that opening match. And maybe there's kind of a looseness now that they see, and so we'll see what happens.
6-0 for the Netherlands incoming. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. We'll see. Yeah.
I think the strategy is interesting for a team like Ecuador, where all they have to do is shut Senegal down. So the temptation for Ecuador could be to play very defensively.
Yep.
But what that leads me to think is going to happen is that Senegal just get to attack the entire 90 minutes and walk away with a 1-0 victory and progress into the knockout round. So Ecuador have to be really careful. Like if you were the Ecuadorian manager, or if you were the manager of Ecuador, I should say, you don't have to necessarily be from there, Josh. That's cool. What would your tactic be? Just go for it?
I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple of days. I try to think about how hard it would be to effectively manage all of these different scenarios. And I'm not sure that I think from like the 70th minute on, maybe even the second half of a game, you can manage that way. But I don't think you can set a team up to be conservative from the very start. I think that it's just a slightly too dangerous strategy, and it could really come back to haunt you. So I think they should kind of play this sort of. I think Ecuador have looked really good and fun so far in the tournament, and I think they should kind of stick with what's worked. I don't know if we have. Do we have an update on Valencia yet? That's the question. I don't know if he's going to be available to play or not.
Valencia is one of the great. His fitness is one of the great ongoing mysteries of Qatar.
But, that's true.
I mean, I think this is it. This is like what did the manager say about Mitrovic? Like he would play with one leg because this is the World Cup finals. I think you know, Mitrovic is on another plane of giant humans. But I think it's true for virtually every player. If they can be wheeled out onto the field, and a player like Enner Valencia has proven to be the vital player for Ecuador. I think even in an unfit Valencia plays.
I think so. And I think on the strategy front, Senegal's too good. Even without Sadio Mane, they're just too good. And you just cannot set up. They're going to score a goal in this match. It's just hard for me to imagine that Ecuador could sit back and escape this match with a 0-0, right? They're going to have to open up and play. And so, they should, right? I mean, if they came out of the South American qualifying, they're certainly. They've played really attacking teams, and they were able to beat those teams and make it through. So I don't think they're going to play this match, afraid. And so I think it's really exciting. I mean, the Netherlands, just by the way, on that, just to go back to that for a second in terms of their qualifying status, they really are very likely through. They would need they qualify. So even if there was a draw in that Senegal-Ecuador match, the Netherlands have to lose to Qatar by more than 2 goals. So it's kind of I could maybe see Qatar winning that match, Qatar dominating that match, the Netherlands match. That is harder to believe, right? 1-0 loss, sure, but even that wouldn't be enough if there was a draw in the other match. So Netherlands are certainly in a really good spot. They're in a position where playing somewhat conservatively really does probably make sense. So that brings us to Group B, though, Brandon. We've got the big day, the big game.
It's Group B, the geopolitical off.
Yeah,
where there's previous with both of these matchups.
Yeah, I mean the flag stuff was a mess. I mean, listen, it's fine to. The problem was the show of solidarity with the Iranian protesters that the U.S. did was a little kind of ham-handed and too subtle, right? It was like they were trying to sneak in a tribute, and it's kind of dumb. Who even knows if it was just some intern that was being. It's impossible to say, right? Because they didn't draw any attention to it. They just showed the. So anyway,
Josh, is wokeness ruining your World Cup experience?
It's not ruining mine, but I thought it was. It was a little ham-fisted. Yeah. I thought, Brandon.
Yeah.
And so,
I agree. Yeah, if you've got something to say as a federation, just come out and bloody say it, I guess, would be the point.
Have the guts to say it. Yep. It actually would have been kind of cool if they were like, yeah, we're gonna win tomorrow, and we're going to win to show Rand what it's like. This is what freedom looks like. No, just something ridiculous like
and
that.
They got Oliver North to come out and stand on the sidelines as well.
I don't think it's going to motivate the Iranian players because they've shown they've shown their sort of what do you say? Like
they're
sort of
hip. Yeah, they're hip to it.
I was gonna say like sort of their sympathy to the protests that are happening there, and so it's not like the U.S. showing sympathy was going to really motivate Iran, as if they needed the motivation anyway. I mean, both teams need to win this game to get through. England is probably clear through. The only way that really, like, realistically, they would not is if Wales beat England by more than 4 goals. Which, hey, it could happen. These scenarios are on the table.
What a story that would be.
I want to see a 5-1 Wales win. That would be pretty amazing.
You think Gareth Southgate would survive that one, Josh?
I don't know that he would. Now, if England gets knocked out by losing 5-0 or 5-1, I think that the project is gonna have to get restarted. So, and then US Iran, I mean, do you have any strong my worry about tomorrow, because I think we can win. I think we probably would be slightly favored to win this match, is can we win it? Like, can we score more than 1 or 2 goals? And I'm not convinced that we can. And so, I don't know. What do you think?
I think we've been spoiled for mentality during the first 2 games of the World Cup with the U.S., where I think our boys have looked really mentally strong and tactically aware. They've put together 2 really solid performances, though the lack of goals, as you mentioned. So my worry about this game against Iran is that we've kind of spent all of our mentality bucks already. If Iran come out and catch us on the back heel, maybe we have a defensive mistake, which we certainly have a few in us.
A Walker Zimmerman blunder.
Yeah, like I really do fear if Iran takes an early lead, how we're able to respond. But I do think if we take charge of this match, I feel like from the jump, and that's not necessarily us scoring a goal, I think, so long as we can control the tempo, we can leave it till, the last 20 minutes of the match to get our winning goal. I feel comfortable with that. But it's really going to come down to our, the U.S. is, we've mentioned before, the second youngest average age team in the tournament. This is the biggest game of these players' lives, full stop.
Oh yeah,
and how are they going to handle it?
It's the biggest American game. Well, I suppose the Trinidad and Tobago game's got to be up there, but I'll say in a more fun way, it's the biggest game since the U.S. Belgium match 8 years ago, 8.5 years ago. So it's a gigantic match. I am incredibly excited about it. And then I want England to win by I do want them to lose by 4 goals because I want us to win that match and qualify as the top team in that group. Otherwise, Brandon, this aforementioned conference, I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I not watching a round of 16 match at 11 a.m. on a Saturday? I'd have to fake a stomach injury or something. So I'm really excited. But let's worry about round of 16 when we get to round of 16. I really want us to win tomorrow. And I believe, Brandon, I believe that we, what is it? I believe that we can win. Is that what it
we
is?
We will win.
We will win. I like Ken. That's more my speed.
Yeah, we got to hedge a little bit in this in this cheer.
Yeah.
Should we spare just a minute for kit talk, which we kind of glossed over, but I noticed this the last time that Portugal played. These kits, you mentioned the sash yesterday, Josh, and like, let's bring back the Chilean sash.
Yeah.
And there is an interesting sort of interpretation of the sash on this Portuguese kit where it's, there's a diagonal demarcation across the middle of the shirt and it's red on top and green below and
true.
It kind of continues
now
onto the sleeve.
Yeah, that's true. It is kind of a sash, isn't it?
I'm a fan. I thought this Portugal-Uruguay match was one of the hottest kit matches we've had in a while.
I thought that Uruguay kit was really cool too. It was really
I could see how it would be divisive, right? It's got like this giant shield on the front. It reminded me of that team in the Mexican League, Tigres, and they have that big tiger face on the front of it. It's just a cool look.
Shouldn't work, but it does. I think they really pull it off. It's kind of a little twist on that German kit, actually. I need to go back and I'm going to do a side-by-side comparison later. All right, Brandon, this is a World Cup minute. We're actually going to keep these, we're trying to get these under 30 at least, and it looks like we're well under right now. So let's end it right here. Good luck to the U.S. tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow night to talk about whatever happens, good or bad. So good luck, and good luck to the Wales. I want to see those 5 goals. I want to see that 5-1 thriller tomorrow, Brandon.
Yeah. Go USA.
All right. Bye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.